Hit a home run and get pre-approved for your next refinance or home purchase at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com, and this will be my visit with Martin Kilcoin, the sports director at Fox 2. And Channel 2 will have the big game for you this Sunday. They have a huge preview of what to expect on Sunday with Martin Kilcoin. He flew out to L.A., had the chance to visit with the guys that you'll see all day on Sunday on set on Fox NFL Sunday. Last time the 49ers reached the Super Bowl, they suffered their first loss in the big game. They will look to get back to their winning ways and capture a sixth title. They'll take on Kansas City, and that is at 5:30 from Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. If you are someone that likes to bet, Kansas City 6-0-1 against the spread in their last seven games is a favorite. The 49ers 5-0 against the spread in their last five games as an underdog. It's an interesting look at how this will play out this weekend. But how will it play out in terms of the TV side of things, the production side of things? Well, Martin Kilcoin has a show tonight on Channel 2, and we'll talk about that. What it was like going out to L.A., catching up with those that'll call the game, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, and those on the set as well. This is Scoops with DannyMac.com, and we're presented by Lordo's Diamonds, coming to you in brilliant clarity thanks to Lordo's. Jimmy Lordo is there. Valentine's Day right around the corner. Make sure that you get that loved one in your life the jewelry that they're looking for. Men's and women's jewelry at lordosdiamonds.com. Yesterday, I had lunch with the good folks at Triad Bank. I do my business there. Full service financial institution established in 2005 and a mission to provide a wide range of commercial and personal banking services to closely held businesses like ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. I do my banking there. TriadBanking.com. TriadBanking.com. When we come back, we'll sit down and visit in studio with Martin Kilcoin.
Hey, Blues fans, join the party all season long at Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill and one of their 11 area locations. Great food and drink specials available during every Blues game. It is your home for Blues hockey. Remember, if the Blues score five any game this season, you get Hotshot's legendary tacos for $1 each the next day. Find a Hotshot's near you at hotshotsnet.com. Proud partner of the St. Louis Blues. Hair Saloon for Men. You'll receive the perfect haircut, compliment. Complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, complimentary shoe shine, all for just $22. Hair Saloon for Men.
Martin Kilcoin is the sports director at Fox Channel 2, and I don't know if you've noticed, but if you watch local television, it's been shocking to hear that the game is on Fox. You guys haven't really promoted it, so I'm not sure that people know the Super Bowl's on Fox, Martin.
You think it's sneaking up on people at this point?
It really is.
There has been a lot of coverage, and I'll tell you the true story. Our new ownership group, so we were owned by Tribune for years, and they were sold. We got bought by Nexstar. And the Nexstar ownership group loves sports. They're based in Dallas. They love football. So we're in their wheelhouse right now. They're like, hey, you guys, the Super Bowl is on Fox. And we're like, yeah, we know. But we've mentioned it a time or two. I get it, too, in St. Louis. A lot of we hate the league. I think there's so much bitter. I get it. I think you can still have fun with the games. If people don't want to watch, don't care about the league, I don't argue with them at all. Some people have emailed me and said they hate the Chiefs. That's fine.
Well, they voted against the Rams
right.
to stay,
now,
so mutual, that's part of it.
Our mutual friend Randy Carricker argues that it didn't matter, that even though that vote, it stood out because the relocation committee, 5-1, voted for the Chargers to go to L.A. and for the Rams to stay put, and the one was Clark Hunt and the Chiefs. You know, Randy has said it doesn't matter. We all know Goodell, Jerry, Stan.
It was rigged.
It was going to happen no matter what, but that sticks out. So I'm kind of ambivalent about the game itself. Like, if the Chiefs win, I've got friends in Kansas City. Good for them. But I'm not emotionally invested in any way.
I'm curious. What were your ratings like when you guys carried the Rams initially after they left? And then what are your primary games like now?
That's a good question, Dan. I think the first year, well, the biggest challenge that first year was, do we carry them if they would get the highest number, even if people were mad, but they would watch.
I mean, you're in business, man. I mean,
right.
You're trying to get eyeballs on your station.
And what we did, I met with our general manager, Spencer Koch, and we kind of game planned and said, you know what, Fox gave us a lot of latitude and said, you know, and at that point, the Rams weren't any good. That first year in L.A., they were bad. And it would be this week, do you want the Rams playing the Bengals or do you want to see the Packers-Eagles? You know, we got to pick. And so we didn't say we're going to show all these Rams games. We showed a handful of them, but generally picked the better game. But I think they did pretty well. Like when they were on, and maybe now there's less and less interest, but I think that first 2 years or so, people were still somewhat intrigued because they liked Aaron Donald. They liked Todd Gurley.
Right.
But I think by now people, it's a really small amount that want to see the Rams.
I think it's interesting that when the league made the move, and the whole reason that we wanted you to come on is promote your show tonight, and we'll get to that. But when they...
This is like Martin with every charity interview and every Sunday with Marshall
Faulk. And by the way, tell me about your charity.
every Sunday night, and we had, you know, Marshall Faulk was a paid guest, but we'd talk football. But every week, his foundation head would say, hey, don't forget this week. We're going to be at Upworth this week. And so I always had these notes. We probably had a full-screen graphic to promote the Faulk Foundation that week. Of course, we're knee-deep into football and this play call and what about what Martz did on third down. And then they'd be in my ear 30 seconds, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, we got and I think 2 weeks in a row, we didn't get to the foundation plug, which was part of our deal with him.
Right.
And we'd go to, like, sign off, and he'd go, Fox 2, don't let a kids. 2 weeks in a row, we just – so we'll get to, the primary. I've been – much like our Super Bowl promotion, I've been pimping this pretty hard, too.
Yeah,
so
I think you should. You worked hard on it. Heard. No, it's going to be great. When the Rams were here, and this is one of the things I never understood when they decided to leave from a league-wide move, you were leaving a top 25 television market, and you were getting huge ratings even at Fox 2. You guys were getting massive ratings even when the team was terrible. That has to play into why would we move if we're going to leave? Everything's dictated by television. That's where you're going to get your money. Why would you move? I never understood that part of it.
Yeah, and even in L.A., where it's a huge market, there's no doubt about it, but they had the NFL.
And you had the primary games.
Correct. And I've said this before, that it was John Shaw, the Rams president, who pointed out to me that once the Rams left, the LA NFL numbers went up because you didn't want to watch 4-12 playing a team that you didn't care about. All of a sudden now, if I'm KTTV, the Fox affiliate in LA, I'm going, giddy up. We've got Packers Bears on Sunday instead of, you know, Rams Jaguars or whatever. So I never figured that. I get that it's – the stadium's going to be a mecca. It's a game changer, and that's why they all caved and said it makes sense. But as far as local ratings, I would think in L.A., people are from all over the place.
Yeah.
If for whatever reason Fox has the Broncos-Chiefs game, which traditionally would have been a CBS game, but if it's on Fox, more people will watch that than the hometown team.
What are you working on tonight? So I know you've been promoting this. I've seen you with Strahan. I've seen you with Howie Long and Kurt Menefee and Joe Buck. And first of all, what time does it air tonight?
So 6:30 Friday night. It's called The Big Game.
6:30 tonight.
6:30 Friday night, Fox 2 St. Louis. It'll run again.
This is Friday, right?
Yeah.
It's a Ben Fred Friday.
Where is Ben Fred?
So that I can say tonight then.
Tonight. Okay. I walked into the studio. I'm looking for Ben Fred, like all around town. I'm like, do I get a quarter off my Big Gulp because it's a Ben Fred Friday?
It's a Ben Fred. Well, that's a great idea. I need to go to On the Run or something. If somebody's
from
On the Run, just let me know.
More ideas, okay?
Yes.
So it's I want a Martin Monday instead of a Ben Fred Friday.
That's a done deal. You want that?
Do I get a quarter off my Big Gulp?
We could work on it.
But it is 6:30 tonight, 5:30 Saturday night. And then I believe Sunday, part of the pregame program, it's going to run somewhere again. So you'll see it this weekend.
Are you running this nationally too?
Well, it's going to run in all of the Nexstar Fox affiliates. And okay. I don't know if that's 35 or 40 stations. So around the country, it's going to pop up and people will
You're a national star.
Who's this Martin Kilcorn and why is he talking to Howie and Terry? But the assignment, as random as it was, because my boss, Audrey, said, hey, you got to do a 30-minute special. It's not about who's in the game. This is back in November, December. We talked about it. And I said, why us? We don't have a team. And the story I've told, it's hilarious because we get to the L.A. studios. Those guys get there like at 5 a.m. Big stars, whatever. It's still early. They got to get there. So we're there at like 7:30 in the morning, all of our gear. We're going to go into the studio. It's just us. It's not a media day. It's just us. Dave Sharp, who's a great photographer, just me and him. We're in the bowels, as Brian Burrow would say, walking through towards the studio. The first person I see is Terry Bradshaw. Now, I've interviewed him a bunch at Rams Park. He came in for some golf events, but he doesn't know me. He just sees me and goes, hey, big guy, what you doing? And I'm wearing a suit and tie, so I'm sure I stood out. And I said, Martin from St. Louis, we've met before. And I said, in fact, remember the Mike Martz golf tournament? He goes, oh, my God, I got into some crap with him, didn't I? And they actually flew Terry in one summer to play golf because he was in a feud.
Yeah.
And he said, well, what are you doing? And I told him about the show, and he said, you don't even have a damn team. And I said, I know, it's kind of weird. And that was everyone's thought for whatever reason, Nexstar, probably because our station.
That was actually my thought.
Well, I think our station is just a really productive and decent
size. Oh, go ahead and say it. Well, you guys are the best. No, You're great.
I think they just said, hey, that's a state. They were new to all of these stations. They said, well, we know Fox St. Louis is a highly efficient. Maybe they can handle this. I don't know. They didn't say like, boy,
and
that,
your star.
No, they didn't say, boy, that Martin, he is a real rock star. So they said, we want a 30-minute deal going behind the scenes, and it's about the personalities and the production. It's not about, we're not talking about the front seven of the Chiefs, which there's enough shows that do that. So we went to Chicago.
I really wanted to get into that, though.
You and I will break that down later.
Yeah.
I think the line play, particularly the right guard for
the right guard
the Niners,
has really gotten good
that's
leverage.
That's the key to this. There is so much crap all week at the Super Bowl, isn't there?
It's ridiculous.
And you look up, and I saw one headline, and it's a guy I think that played in the league. I forget who it was. And everybody's under pressure to make a bold statement. This is like Tuesday, and it said on the screen, Mahomes must play at a Hall of Fame level for Chiefs to win. I'm like, not necessarily.
No.
I'm like, what does that even mean?
Jimmy Garoppolo handed the ball off every other down in the game to get to the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter.
Nonsense. So this is about the people. And the first thing we did is there was a Thursday night football game in Chicago. And we walk in the booth, and Joe knew I was coming. But so there's all kinds of people up there that don't know me from Adam. And, of course, Joe's like, yeah, it's Marty from St. Louis. He's a weirdo, guys. And I'm like, thanks, Joe. Thanks. But
yeah.
We sit him and Aikman together. They've worked together. And
Sixth Super Bowl, I believe they're calling.
Sixth for them together, yeah.
It's hard to believe it's been six.
And they've almost done 20 years together in the booth. And as you know, it's nice to have a regular partner to work.
Tell me about it.
Let's talk about the merry-go-round. No, but so we put those two together. And then we went to L.A.
I enjoyed your Dan Cease article today, by the way. It was really good.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I showed some restraint. And by the way, people are like, oh, you're not on the radio. I'm everywhere else. You can find me, okay? It's not hard to find me.
All right. ScoopsWithDannyMac.com.
I was on the Big 550 last night with Ben. It was a Ben Fred Thursday. And Brendan Weesey, and we're on 550 and talking about this show and other things. And there was multiple ScoopsWithDannyMac.com.
Nice work.
Mentions. The hat made it to Hawaii.
I wanted to say thank you. Yeah, I get Scoops merchandise. You can go on the website and get shirts and T-shirts and hats. By the way, those are selling. It's awesome. People love them.
Well,
and I sign them and I send them back.
It's a pretty slick look. And black is very slimming, so I have two choices. Either work out more or just wear black.
Oh, well, and I think you look great, Martin.
Thank you, Dan. So then we go to L.A. And,
well, you didn't tell me about the Buck interview.
So, well, the idea was Joe and Troy together, and Joe said it is stressful. He said even if you call games your whole life, and I'm sure some games are bigger, and you just and Troy kind of laughs and says Joe's never been stressed in his life.
Uh-huh.
But the idea was those two together. We go into the production truck, and you know those are the guys who are really doing a lot of the work to make the game look great, you know, behind the scenes, and it's just chaotic. In that production truck, how many times they'll say, stand by, going to this graphics not ready, never mind. Okay, camera shot, Jason Garrett, ISO, forget that. No, back to the, oh, they're on the, oh, they went no huddle, stand by. And it's just crazy.
Yeah.
And you
deal
with it.
Do you have a camera watching that?
So we did, we went in the truck.
That's fascinating, that's good stuff.
So as much as it's fun to talk to Howie and Terry, we talked to the producer, the director, and Richie Zients was a CBS guy. He goes, I started as like a security guard in the lobby, worked my way up, ended up at Fox, and he's been doing these for a while. One of his first Super Bowls as the producer, he said, all this pressure on the networks, because it's, you know, it's network ego. CBS is watching Fox, ABC and NBC are going, oh, that was stupid.
For sure.
They're all trying to do something to make it stand out. And the game in Jacksonville, this producer was his first one, and he said, we put the camera in the pylon. He said, now every college game's got one. But then it was innovative, and we thought it'd be cool if we had a camera down low where you could see the end zone and the goal line. But he said hours before the game, he goes, our field cameras are up. We're just getting ready in the truck. Teddy Bruschi of the Patriots is walking with his kid, who's like 4 or 5. He said, we're watching going, no, 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 no. And the kid picks up the pylon and just throws it like a Nerf football, and they're screaming, that's our millions of dollars or whatever. And so we do give those guys their due because they really – are a huge piece of what happens on game
day. They're a massive piece.
As you know.
Absolutely.
You never see these people.
It's chaos.
I don't know how I really don't know how they do it.
It's fascinating. I've always told people, I said, you know, we're the ones in front of the camera, you're in front of the camera, and that's cool, and we have our piece of what we do for a game or a newscast. I said, but if you would go in live television, that's the key, live, and see when stuff breaks, or something's going on at the ballpark. And we have 50, 60 men and women that put on the games just for Cardinals baseball. And for a Super Bowl, I can't even imagine how many people are going to be on this, how many trucks they have, how many cameras they have. It's mass chaos that comes together on your screen. And I don't know how they do it. I mean, I do, but I don't. And that, to me, is the fascinating part, to make it all coordinate, to make it work so that you have, as a viewer, an enjoyable experience. It's very, very tough to do.
And it's almost like another language. If you walk in there off the street like we did, we get video of it, you'll hear the, all right, give me V1. No. Okay, give me T20. Okay, never mind. All right, rewind. Where's S15? And you're watching all this, and yet only one thing is going on the air. But there's, 30 monitors. There's an option. Oh, that's Jason Garrett spiking his headset. Oh, that's the Bears lineman tripping on his way to the tunnel or whatever. Like, which one are we going to next? So you get a piece of that.
And then, you only get one shot at it.
Oh, yeah, and you that's get it wrong. You get it wrong, and everybody's like, oh, idiots.
Yeah.
Like, you have no clue. So the focus there, Joe and Troy together, the production truck. But then in L.A., I really thought Howie and Terry should be together because they were there day one in 94 when the NFL on Fox debuted. It was James Brown, Howie Long, Terry Bradshaw, and Jimmy Johnson. Now, Jimmy left and went to the Dolphins, so he was an original that left.
I forgot he was an original. That's
he
right.
was there for early days, and I think maybe Ronnie Lott was part of that. So we get to Terry now that their show is done, and they're on that football turf. You always see him stay on the turf. We're going to do our interviews there. And Bradshaw says, let's knock this out, all right? And I said, I really want you and Howie together. And he's like, nah, let's just do it. And it's kind of awkward because it's his world, but I want to be a little pushy because I really wanted them together. And he said, what does it matter anyway? And he's being nice, but he's just like, let's just get this over with. That's how most of them feel. And I said, God, I really think it'd be better. He's like, damn it. Howie, guy from St. Louis that doesn't even have a damn team, he's bossing us around. Get over here. And I was so glad I pushed because they got together and they're funny together, chiming in. And I've played this clip where Terry's like, when Fox called, I didn't want to work for Jethro and the Hillbillies. And Homer and Howie goes, it was Homer and the Simpsons, Terry. So they're great together, just having fun. And it's not an X's and O's show. It's about their personalities. And Jimmy Johnson, I didn't know much about him. And he was really fun. And he's done a lot. He won a college championship as a player. He, of course, won national titles as a coach, Super Bowls with the Cowboys. And then right after we were there, he got into the Hall of Fame. So we went back and inserted that. It's an edited show. It's not live. And because Dave Sharp is so good at editing, it's a pretty slick show. And I have to say, everybody goes around. Some days you and I do work that it's not our best. And we're like, well, it'll be better tomorrow. This is one that actually looks really good, primarily because of Dave's editing.
What did you take away from the person? Anything stand out for you? I mean, you know some of these guys. And when I say you know them from afar. But right. did you find out anything?
I think genuinely, and we were there for 3-4 hours from before the show, standing in the studio during the show, and then after. And basically when their show ends, that hour-long show on Sunday, they all sit on the set and watch all the games. And they wheel around all these monitors. They've got food on the set. And they do game breaks. And, Kurt Menefee is the ringleader, he's got a head earpiece holding. He's eating, and they're like, stand by, game break. And he's like, let's take it to Miami. Here's a touchdown. So they're all hanging out. But I do think they really do like each other. And I'd heard for years, like on Saturday nights, and we were going to go out on Saturday. I said, maybe we could just knock the interviews out the day before. And I asked Joe Buck. He said, good luck with that. He goes, they're at the hotel drinking beer, watching college. He goes, they're not going to be game planning on a Saturday. He goes, they'll be there Sunday. And it worked out better. But I think they all really do get along. Strahan said it was hard being the new guy, and he's still the new guy. Even he got there in 2008. And
it's been that long.
Yeah, and he's the new guy. I just think they were all pretty cool, and sometimes they can be kind of jerks.
There's egos.
Yeah, and everybody was kind of like, they weren't mad we were there. The hardest part for me was I had to do all my on-camera with them like 10
watching,
feet away.
Yeah.
And I felt like such a dork.
I don't like doing that
either. And I could do a stand-up if there's 20,000 people at the Cardinal game because it's just a big group of people. I'm not noticing. But this is just a few guys, and I'm saying their name. Terry Bradshaw came here, and then as you say their name, you can almost feel their heads turning.
Yeah.
I feel like the biggest dork. And watching it back, the only thing I don't like is some of my stand-ups because I feel like I didn't sell it well enough. And I bet you I was being a little bit timid because they were right. I'd say, and Michael Strahan, and you can kind of feel him looking. That was a little unnerving. And I don't get nervous, but I just felt weird doing that. But everybody was really sort of fun. And there was even, I think, one of our interviews, I don't know what ended up, which part we're on, but we're interviewing Menifee and Strahan's in the background making faces. Yeah. And just,
but that's kind of fun, though.
Yeah, just goofing around. They were really accommodating, and I think they really do just kind of all hang out.
You know, this is, the point of the show then is to get the personalities of these guys and to see them in a different light, correct?
Yeah, and I ask them about their Super Bowl experience, any that stand out. Howie Long tells a story, and I ask him about Terry, and I said, you know, Terry kind of is the bumpkin, you know, country. And Howie goes, hold on. Laughing all the way to the bank. You guys think he's this big dummy. He goes laughing all the way to the bank. And then Terry's like, no, I really am that guy. You guys are overthinking it. And how he used the example of Terry's like TV intuition or whatever, the Super Bowl the Rams and Patriots were in, and how he tells the whole story, how it was really moving, and U2 played at halftime, and they unfurled all the names of the people who had died at 9/11. And I was there. It was really powerful. And that's captured in the show. And how he said, I remember on the pregame, we all said, well, the Rams offense and Marshall and Kurt, he said, we're all breaking it down with all this stats and numbers. And he said, we get to Terry at the end. He said, you know what? In a year of 9/11 and this country, everything we've been through, I think the Patriots are going to win. It's a year for a Patriot or something. Just kind of like his gut or his emotion or whatever. And Howie said, I'll never forget that. Instead of like a Super Bowl, like greatest catch or whatever. And,
sure.
And Howie and Terry both said when they got hired, they said, just have fun. We'll never get mad at you. Just don't talk stats all day. And Terry said, I don't know any stats.
And that's how they do it.
Right. And they really do have a lot of fun. And there's enough shows. You know, you can nerd out on as much football as you want. They're not going to do that. They're going to kind of goof around and have some fun.
What was your impression of Joe? You know, I know I was texting with Joe a little bit today and just saying, hey, it's just a game. You know, and he was like, you're right. It's just a game. And it's easy to say that. It's another thing to be in that chair. What did you get the impression with Joe at the Super Bowl?
I think Joe honestly does feel it's different because even though you may do an NFC Championship game and that might have 20, 30 million people, that's a lot of people, but this is a different stage. And I think for a guy who gets criticized so much, which is just so stupid, it pisses me off. It's just like you don't know how hard that job – and even – the director, the producer, Aaron Anders, all talked, and not all of it made it to this special, but talked about how he holds it all together. And Troy's the old quarterback, but they said Joe on Sundays is our quarterback. But I think because it's an industry thing, it's a huge day for the industry. There aren't eight games going on. It's just that game. I think he probably feels a little bit of pressure not to flub it. And then Troy kind of hopped in at one point and said, the other thing is these games are archived forever.
Absolutely.
And he goes, you're basically documenting, goes, and I know, he goes, the NFL Network will play it for the next 50 years.
Right.
And he said, you don't want to screw it up. So I think Joe's answer about being a little stressed, that it is pressure, I think he was being honest about that, even though I'm sure he knows he can do a good job.
I hope you know about the Schnucks Rewards app. If for some reason you don't, where have you been? The whole city has been downloading this. If you're a Schnucks Rewards member, you're going to earn points. And the next time you're at Schnucks, you can use those points for money off. Digital coupons on the items you want most. Download the Schnucks Rewards app. Get the app that gets you. It's all aboard the newest restaurant in St. Louis, the Train Shed at Union Station. Perfect place before and after Blues and Cardinal games. Historic St. Louis Union Station is downtown's newest dining destination with Train Shed's creative pub and the Soda Fountain's modern diner. The Train Shed at Union Station.
Behind the scenes, did the guys ask you how St. Louis is doing, or did any of that talk about the Rams leaving, not on camera, but just, you know, shooting the bull?
I think the most on camera and off camera about that topic was with Howie Long because his son Chris. And so I know Chris a little bit, and I texted him because you show up and, you know, St. Louis is a big-sized market in terms of the whole country. It's, you know, in the 20-ish range. But L.A., New York, they're like, who's this goofball from? So I thought it would help. You walk in the net, helps in Chicago, even though Joe's giving me a hard time. They're like, hey, Joe knows Martin. He's fine. And I thought, I'm going out to L.A. I don't know any of these people. So I texted Chris Long and said, tell your dad I'm not a total a-hole, you know. And so Howie goes, oh, Chris texted me you were coming and everything, which would help break the ice. And then in the interview, he was talking about the Super Bowl that Chris won because it was the, let's see, it would have been that Patriots comeback against the Falcons. So Chris Long, who had done nothing but lose games in St. Louis, first year in New England, wins. And Howie said, that's my favorite Super Bowl because even though I've won because it was Chris. And he just got into an answer where he said there was all those Sundays They were always losing. He goes, and I'm on the set. He goes, there's only so much I can say. And I can't remember what was on camera, off camera. I said, how hard was it? Because you guys both love football and your father-son talking, and Howie had primarily been a winner. And he said, the first thing Chris said when he got to New England, he said, this is a great team, but our front seven in St. Louis was better with Aaron Donald and Robert Quinn. And I think that was on camera. And Terry goes, see, it's all coaching. But he was amazed. Like, they did have some decent players, even compared to New England's roster, but just never won. And so he was talking a little bit how hard it was as a TV guy to explain all the losing when Chris's teams were just weren't very good.
I've wanted to ask them what they thought about the whole process, too. You know, we are so, me especially, I mean, you know how I am about this whole thing. I mean, I'm bitter about it. And
you've been to therapy. I'm
trying to get through it. It's not working. but I'm curious, though, what they think about that whole process.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting. And I told Howie, I said, you know, Chris's legacy in St. Louis is strong because he did a lot of stuff. He was a good soldier on a lot of bad teams. And he's come back since then. And really, when they left L.A., he got cut. So he doesn't even have, if you want to, the stain of L.A., it's not his fault. Any of these players, not their fault. But Chris never went to L.A., so his St. Louis bond, and you saw it during the Stanley Cup, he showed up. Crowd loves him. And I think in part because they lost so much, they respected Chris for, like, hanging in there and still loving St. Louis, tweeting about St. Louis. He does a weekly TV show podcast. He's doing one with his dad, and I'm watching it going behind him. There's a Tarasenko jersey behind Howie Long in a studio in Virginia. But I think process-wise, I think most of them just think, hey, it's the league. It happens. I mean, I think Howie understands Chris is really connected to St. Louis, but I don't think most of them, I hate to say it, but I would guess they're not too worried about it.
Yeah. I'll wrap it up with this. For fans that are listening to this maybe for the first time and they don't know this, Martin is doing weekly interviews with Keith Tkachuk, Darren Pang, Bernie Federko, all on the website. It's been good for you, hasn't it? I mean, you enjoy it.
Yeah, I love it. And, you know, I've done daily radio, and it's great. And I've worked with Frank Guzman, and we've had a lot of fun. But it's different when you just kind of sit there and you're not, there's no clock, there's no break that you have to take, you're just shooting the breeze. And the hockey stories of Bernie Federko, Darren Pang,
they're unbelievable.
Keith Tkachuk, and I always say these are weekly segments, Bernie, Darren, and I said, and it's weekly if Big Walt remembers to answer the phone.
Right.
He's unbelievable. We used to play a drop on the radio of Keith, and he's going, what day is today? Is it Tuesday? And I'd always laugh about it, but now the more you talk to him, like, he really doesn't know because he didn't have to.
How cool, though, was that weekend with his family? I mean, that was awesome.
Really cool. And not only that the Tkachuk kids were in St. Louis, but Matthew kind of knew what, like, how to play the crowd.
Yeah.
Broke out the Molina jersey. So our last podcast, I said, wait a minute, he doesn't have a Rick Burleson or a David. He goes, easy. Just, you know, Big Walt always got in trouble for loving the Red
right.
Sox. He said, these kids grew up here. They love the Cardinals. He goes, they love the Blues.
Yeah.
I wouldn't rule out Matthew one day maybe coming back. I'm sure that's what they'd love to do as players. But that weekend, and Bennington stealing the show on Friday night, I just love the fact for the franchise, and you used to cover it day in and day out.
Oh, yeah.
They have had a lot of bad luck, a lot of bad breaks, and it just finally it all came together. And the weekend was really a celebration of the whole Blues franchise.
The other thing I was going to plug, too, is if you haven't listened to it, go to listen to Martin's. It's on the website, his interview with Isaac Bruce, who will find out tomorrow whether or not he is headed to the Hall of Fame. I do think this is the year. For whatever reason, maybe the 20th year of the greatest show on turf winning a Super Bowl, or the fact that it's been a joke that he's not in. I think he gets in this year, but your interview was awesome with him.
Well, thanks, and I hope people, if you like Isaac Bruce and you haven't listened, check it out, because it's him just kind of talking about his whole life. You know, we didn't do 3 hours, but it's pretty lengthy. And, of course, he called me after. He's like, dude, I didn't know we were talking for that long. I'm like, get off the highway, get off the Bluetooth. We're going to kind of get in depth. Even the fact, out of high school, he was going to Purdue, but didn't have the SAT score. And he talks about it. He said, I didn't take school seriously, and it humbled me. Because he's a smart guy. And he, like, figured out, I can't just ride football. So part of his foundation, a big part of it is education, kids getting into college. And one of the things they do at his foundation is they pay for kids to get a plane trip to go to school for the first time. He said, I didn't have money. He said, I got a scholarship to a JUCO in LA because I couldn't even get on the plane.
Wow.
Because he didn't have the money. So, yeah, I hope people check it out. I think you'll get in. There's not as many skill players clogging it up. It would be nice because it's the 20th anniversary. It's also in Miami. It's his hometown near
right.
Lauderdale. There's a lot of Torrey Holt is a first-time finalist. It's kind of cool. They're both on there. Typically, these guys have to kind of build some momentum before they get in. I would think it happens. If it doesn't, I would be extremely bitter if I were him, but that's not Isaac. He won't be. He'll handle it the right way, even though you and I would be extremely bitter. We'd tell him to go to hell.
The TV show tonight, 6:30, tomorrow night, 5:30 on Fox 2, and wherever you're catching this podcast, look for your next star.
Probably at online. Fox2now.com. Yeah. They'll probably post the whole show at some point.
Awesome. Hey, thanks for coming in.
It's been a Ben Fred Friday. Look forward to the next Mondays with Martin.